prep sports now. If last week was rivalry week, this week is, I don't even know what to call it, the premier week of high school football. We got so many games that are going to be great. You know, some weeks we struggle. We think about one or two games that we really need to talk about, and the rest you can kind of see how they're going. That's not the case this week. Some great games. But before we get ahead of ourselves, let's lead it in by talking about last week. A couple good games last week, starting with the game I was at, Foothill and Basic. Brewer, I know you're always picking against Basic. Were you surprised it was as close as it was?
Well, I guess Foothill fumbled the ball maybe four times, had four untimely turnovers. And rivalry week, like we talked last week, throw the records out the window. When you have, you know, two schools located as close as Foothill and Basic, you know the game's going to be close. Listen, Foothill keeps proving everybody wrong, still undefeated. Obviously, they've got a big game this week with Liberty, but I think what stands out for me, and I haven't seen Foothill play yet, but just by looking at the box scores, is they got a quarterback case, and you've seen him, Parker Riggin, a few times. This kid really is slinging the ball around, and he's the difference maker.
Right. As far as the game, it went about how I expected. Close game against a big rival. Foothill just has that thing to pull it out, and obviously Riggin is a huge part of that. I actually don't think he had as good of a game against Basic as he did the week before when I was there against Silverado. He did throw a couple interceptions, made a couple mistakes. But that brings me to another thing I like about this Foothill team. From being around high school football, there's some teams and some coaches that if you make a mistake, it's just the end of the world, you know, most even, and they freak out, what are we going to do, going crazy. Foothill's the total opposite. The Riggin kid makes a mistake, someone makes a mistake, the whole sideline is upbeat, don't worry, we'll get back at him. I think that's really kind of an attitude to this team that I think could do them well, and I'm actually really happy they ended up getting the victory for this week's sake, because this just makes this game so much bigger. Foothill and Liberty, both undefeated in the division. I mean, you can't ask for any more than having these two go at each other on Friday night.
And two things with Foothill. One, you got to remember last year they upset Vegas in the quarterfinals of the regional tournament, and that was a Vegas team that had won six straight regional crowns. So you kind of saw the writing on the wall a little bit that Foothill was going to have a great year. Now, we still kind of thought that maybe that victory against Vegas was a fluke, but, you know, they're obviously proving us right this year. And then they beat Basic without Connor Afoa, who is one of the best players, not just in the league, not just in the city, in the state. I mean, the kid's an absolute beast. He's got the respect of, you know, every opposition. And he doesn't play last week, banged up knee, and they still go ahead and they pull out the victory against their rival Basic, another sign of a good team. So Foothill's the real deal. Another team case that's the real deal is those Las Vegas Wildcats, baby. I've been telling you that those guys have got speed to burn. They have so many weapons offensively just because they're so more athletic than everybody. I know it's tough because they're playing the Northeast. The Northeast teams are very bad. And for as fast as Cameron Rogers and Pharrell Victor and Hassan Henderson are, you know, they're probably even faster because they're playing, you know, some real below average teams in the Northeast. But just against Rancho, they just look so much bigger and quicker. You know, D. Hall took one back to the house on a punt return. They had a pick six for a touchdown. You know, they just have so many fast and athletic kids. And, you know, and they set up the game so well. They handed the ball to Pharrell Victor, their running back, like six times a game. And I know I've been a little critical of Vegas, saying they threw too much. They got to get the ball in Victor's hands. And they did. Cameron Rogers is having a good game. I really like Vegas, man. I still think they're the class of the region, despite the loss last year to Foothill. You know, they return 9 or 10 guys on defense, and you know, I like Vegas. They're quick, speed kills, dude.
What do you think is different, maybe, from this Vegas team than last year? Being that last year had a great year all year, but goes and loses that game to Foothill. And I got to tell you, I think this year's fourth place team in the Southeast is going to be better than Foothill was last year. I mean, they're going to have a challenge the first week in the playoffs. What is it about this team? Have they grown mentally that makes you think they're gonna play better in the playoffs?
Well, I just think they're a year older. They had, you know, 9 junior starters on defense, obviously. Hassan Henderson was a sophomore quarterback. Pharrell Victor was a sophomore running back. And it was a perfect storm, you know. Just the right amount of errors by Vegas. Foothill goes, capitalizes on them, and it was the upset of all upsets. The area split into Sunrise and Sunset regions, Kiefer, in 2000. You were probably like in sixth grade then, right?
In 2000? I think I was a freshman in high school.
Freshman in high school. I was getting my first gray hairs that I'm now full complement of gray hair on my head, the salt and pepper look. But Vegas was, you know, That was the biggest upset since 2000 in those region tournaments. I mean, Vegas had won like 8 of 10 tournaments. They're the class of the league, and for Foothill to do what they did. But I think Vegas is just a year older, a year wiser, and maybe they're more hungry. Last year, they probably got a little complacent, beating up on all these teams in the Northeast, and then they get a Foothill team that kind of backed into the playoffs, and they're thinking, another cupcake city. Let's get the twos ready to go in, and they upset them. But, you know, the playoffs are going to be great this year. The four teams from the Southeast, Canyon Springs and Vegas, I think any of those six teams you can make an argument could win this thing.
What about, I know you mentioned we don't talk a lot about the Northeast because it's been kind of rough this year, not that many good teams, but we have to talk about this game. Chaparral almost made your year, almost gave you the best present of the, well, I guess you're having a son in 2 weeks, that'll be the best present. They almost gave you the second best present of the year, leading L-Dog for most of the game, but gave it up. What can you say about that game, and how devastating is it to lose the cleat game in that kind of fashion?
Well, and this just goes back to our argument we made earlier. Anything could happen in a rivalry game. Shap, 17-game losing streak. El Dorado with, you know, Ja'Cory Williams poised to maybe get into the playoffs. And Shap jumps out to a 13-0 lead. And you got to give credit where credit is due. I know I've been hard on the coaches over there, but they had those kids ready to play. And it just shows how important the rivalry is. And I think everybody in that stadium that day was greeted to a classic. And, Shap lost. Yeah, I was, like, in the fetal position when I heard the score. You know, dude, I was fired up. When I heard that Shap was up and then that the game was tied going to overtime, I'm like, should I run over there real fast? Can I catch the end of the game? I'm driving back into Henderson from the Rancho game, and I still see the lights on at Shap. And but that rivalry, you know, needed this kind of game because now it's starting to get some of its importance back. And, you know, even though Shap lost, you know, they're still winners for the way they played. And, you know, female kicker for El Dorado makes the game-winning extra point. You know, it's a tough cross to bear. You hate to see it. But the rivalry at least lived up to its billing.
Shap, a 17-game losing streak. I didn't even realize that. That is getting pretty bad. It's not going to get any easier this week with Desert Pines. But in that losing streak, I'm sure one of the things you wanted to talk about today, Chaparral has endured the running clock rule here in Southern Nevada. If you're up 45, the clock starts running. Do you think this is the best rule for high school football, or do you think we could be tweaked in a way, or what are your thoughts on the running clock?
Well, I know when we cover games, we're rooting for the running clock so we could get back to the office and start getting a hold of other coaches. But what I've come to realize is that, I mean, the clock doesn't stop. So you're trying to get your backups, your twos in that need to get their reps for later in the year if somebody gets hurt or for next year. And this clock is just draining down and draining down and draining down. And you only get like one offensive series, and then you've got maybe 60 kids on the team, and you want to reward everybody for working hard in practice, but you can't even get them in there to get some quality time or some quality carries. And I like the running clock because it helps contain blowouts. And it helps, you know, keep the scores respectable. But, you know, the onus is also on the coaches to do that. And, you know, a lot of the good teams like Gorman and Paolo and Vegas, you know, you'll see them only scoring, you know, 7 or 14 points in the second half. Well, part of that is, A, you know, of course their coaches are classy and they're not running up. But, B, there's not enough time to get it done. I mean, literally it's a 24-minute half. You know, the bus driver's got the bus started at the end of the third quarter. And I like it because it keeps the scores respectable. And you're right, Shap has been on the wrong end of some of these things. But, dude, we got to get these kids a chance to play. I mean, ultimately, the whole reason why, you know, we do this is for kids to play. And when you got 24 minutes, you know, you got a ball rolls out of bounds a little too far. You got a minute before some, you know, overweight official goes and chases the darn thing down.
Here's my thing, though. If you don't use the running clock, and this might just be extreme because it's not going to happen in all the games, but some of the games, if you look at the best teams, okay, I mean, not to be insensitive, but this week we have Gorman and Pahrump Valley. Imagine if we didn't have a running clock. Gorman, I don't care if they have their sixth string in. They can score every play on Pahrump Valley. What are they going to have to do, Neil?
Yeah, the Junior Gales middle school team goes out and can put up a running clock. And, you know, and that's the detriment, but at the same time, what about the second string kids at Gorman who are trying to fight to get in the lineup over there and who want to get, you know, to prove themselves for future seasons? You know, they don't have a chance. And I know you shouldn't be saying, okay, it's a blowout, you know, what about these second stringers from Gorman? Oh, poor those kids, you know, when they're up by 50 points. You know, and especially when you look at Pahrump, and God, they've lost 31 games in a row, and they got to play Gorman. Come on, that is embarrassing. I just, the school system, God, Case, I feel like I come on this podcast every week, and I just complain and complain and complain about the way things are done. But somebody who makes more money than I do, who has a bigger title than I do, has got to figure it out that it's unfair for Pahrump to be playing in the 4A. Put them where they belong. Put them in eight-man football. Put them somewhere. But it's no fun to lose 31 straight games. Imagine that bus ride home from Gorman.
No fun at all. So just to get your final thoughts on the running clock, if you were in charge, if you had the title, if you just said someone that makes a lot more money and has a bigger title than you, what would you do with the running clock? Would you have it? Would you get rid of it?
I would change the way it's ran. I would stop the clock after points were scored, maybe, or I'd find a way to get more time for the second stringers to play. Or, you know, maybe the coaches could get together once 45 points are scored at midfield, and they could figure out what they want to do as gentlemen.
So maybe Gorman could say, "Hey, you can have a couple of our players for Pahrump Valley."
And listen, it's like when you play Little League, they only show up with nine. You're like, "Hey, can we borrow two? We could get a game going."
Exactly.
But there's got to be a way where, you know, on it, I don't know, incomplete pass, the clock still keeps going. You know, I don't know, but there's got to be a way to get more reps for the twos. And that's the twos of both schools. You know, Desert Oasis, when they lost 56-6 to Gorman, they were putting their twos in.
I think that could actually kind of work if you just had the running clock for everything else, out of bounds and everything, but it stops when you get in the end zone or get any points, a field goal. Never thought about that, but I think that works. But now we'll move on. We got so many games to talk about. Like always, we'll go through all of them, but we're going to spend some extra time on the bigger ones. Let's start with the Thursday Night Lights game, which is actually really intriguing this week. El Dorado, who we just talked about, hosting Rancho, probably for the fourth spot in the Northeast. Really think this one could go either way. What are your thoughts, Ray?
El Dorado goes from one win to possibly getting into the playoffs. And I saw Rancho last week, and they're not as bad as the 60-whatever to 12 final that they lost to Vegas. Obviously, you know, Shamel David is one of the best running backs in the Northeast, and he's the real player. And I like the quarterback, Goose Gardette. I'm not even sure how to say the name. Let me tell you a kid, and this totally gets off subject a little bit. I wanted to tell you this. Bryson Mitchell from Rancho, kid is like 5'6", Kiefer, 140. Honest to God, dripping wet, 5'6", 140. First quarter against Vegas, they throw a ball to this kid, and I'm like, boy, that kid is wide open. What? How could you overthrow him that far? The kid laid out and dove and caught the ball. Honest to God, one of the best catches I've seen in 15 years of doing this. An amazing catch. And I'm like, boy, this kid has got some spirit, man. Biggest game of the year. You know you're going to get your rear end handed to you. And to play like that, that was an amazing catch. I just think Rancho has too much. I know El Dorado, Ja'Cory Williams is going to be the best player on the field. And El Dorado's a great story. I just don't see him getting past Rancho. I like Rancho for the four.
Here's the thing. My heart for sure says El Dorado, because all year I've been saying they're going to make the playoffs. It's such a great story that, as bad as they were last year, to turn around and make the playoffs. Ja'Cory Williams, people are talking about it now. At the beginning of the year, he was the best player no one was talking about. But my mind says that Rancho is going to win this game. I just think they've been more impressive. I think they got a few more athletes, like you said. They're a younger team, though. So I think El Dorado has a chance, but it's hard for me to go against Rancho. I think I'm going to have to take Rancho in this game, too.
Nonetheless, a good game.
Should be a great game. Good to see a competitive game on Thursday night. We'll jump right into another competitive game. Maybe we should call it the Desperation Bowl. Del Sol at Basic. From last year, I mean, last couple years, I guess, we're used to these teams battling it out for the division supremacy. This year, we're looking at them to battle it out, maybe for the third or fourth spot. This should be a great game, too.
Yeah, you got to go back to last November when, you know, Basic's up by double digits at halftime against Del Sol in the regional championship game. And Del Sol holds them scoreless in the second half and rallies for the victory. And that kind of epitomizes the rivalry between Del Sol and Basic, where no matter what Del Sol does, they seemingly beat Basic by 2 or 3 points every time they play. Last year, they played twice. Del Sol beat them by a combined 3 points. And when it comes down to it, it's the mindset that Del Sol has. It's they're running downhill on everybody, trying to stop me. We're going to be more physical. And they've been more physical than Basic. And I know Basic is gritty. I know Basic is hardworking, and I know Basic is better than the 3-game winning streak they have. But they gave up 200 yards rushing to Jordan Ireland of Legacy, and he's nowhere near the player that Chris Marshall is at Del Sol. And Legacy, I love their running attack. It's nowhere as Del Sol's running attack. Del Sol runs the ball. They're going to run it right at you, and I just don't see Basic stopping Chris Marshall and those Del Sol Dragons. I got the score 21-19, though.
So tough for me. I mean, I haven't seen Del Sol, but from what I've seen last year, what I know they have, I think they would beat Basic, but I'm just really hesitant on this game. I don't know what to think. I think Basic did some really good things in the Foothill loss. They got the ball to Dominic Vilas, who, I mean, had a huge game, made a couple big catches. They couldn't pull it out. I think they're doing some good things on offense. They've played better defense. It's just so tough. I got to say, Brewer's already made his picks for this week. I have not made my picks. So this is a disclaimer for the rest of the time if I go against myself. You're hearing this is live. I got a little bit more time to think about the game. I lean Del Sol, but just very, very, very close. Pretty much pick your side. It's about 50-50.
Here's the thing, Case. Del Sol's not as good as they have been the last few years. You know, they don't have the horses that they've had in years past. And Del Sol's always done it with smoke and mirrors. They've always had 14 or 15 kids playing both ways, piece it together, you do this, you do that. And it's kind of the same way this year. You know, Troy Miller, I've said this 100 times, he's the quarterback, he's the long snapper, he's the middle linebacker, defensive end. And somehow Del Sol wins. So it's just like, as bad as you think Del Sol's going to be, somehow they pull it out.
We've got that pretty Henderson City Championship trophy on your desk right now. They're going to be playing for it Friday. Foothill and Liberty, we've talked a little bit about it, but wow, this game should just be – I mean, I talked to Coach Morocco. He said the biggest game in their school history, undoubtedly. Foothill at Liberty, who do you got? What are you looking for in this game?
Here's the deal. Until last year, Liberty had never made the playoffs, never had a winning season, and now they're – you know, top five team in town, and they're on my I'm on their bandwagon. How does the turnaround work? Liberty has looked great last week against Coronado, by the way. For as bad as they looked against Del Sol and Green Valley and how they struggled with a very tough Basic team, they look great against Coronado, but everybody looks good against Coronado. Here's what it comes down to. Liberty is bigger, stronger, and physical and has better players. With that said, I think Foothill organizes its team and its players a little better because they don't have as many good players. Is Ty Bird's knee going to be ready to go because somebody's got to guard Kyle Keplinger? Is Connor Afoa's knee going to be ready to go? All questions that we don't have answers for right now. If Ty Bird plays, if Connor Afoa plays, I still like Liberty because they're bigger, stronger, and more nastier. Here's the deal, though. Liberty has no team speed on the outside, and if Foothill gets the ball outside, I think they could pull it off. Another close game. Should be a good, classic, good, hard-fought game. I got Liberty by 7.
I really hope that both Bird and Afoa play. The game this magnitude, you want your best players in on both sides. I got a real interesting tidbit about this game. Go back 4 years, I think of 2006, when these teams were freshmen. I guess they played each other. Their freshman teams played each other the last game of the season. They were both undefeated. So it's pretty much for the freshman title of Liberty and Foothill. Close game all the way. Liberty scored, I think, with a minute or two left to take the lead, and Foothill returned to kickoff for a touchdown to win. They undefeated that freshman year. It's the same kids now on the bigger stage. Just a little added intrigue.
Foothill doesn't have nearly as many kids from that team that made it all the way through. They had a few kids that moved away that hurt them. But I hear this is what I was told. I hear what you're saying. It's a good point. This collision was made to happen, baby. This is the year. You know, Coach Redmond has been, you know, has circled this year. He knew they would be good. You know, Liberty's done well for us. I'm sorry to interrupt you. I'm rude.
Here's the thing. I've gone back and forth on this. I thought for sure I'd pick Liberty, and then I was leaning Foothill, then Liberty, then Foothill. Who knows? Here's the thing I'll say. It's a key for Foothill. Liberty, in the game I saw him pass the most against was Basic. Basic really had some success in the first half before Liberty switched up some of their coverages and looked really good in the second half. They can't afford to come out slow with their coverages because Riggin will pick them apart. So that's why I think Foothill has a real chance. If they can get an early lead, this isn't going to be like Liberty's other opponents where they can storm back. I lean Liberty, but I still haven't decided in this one either.
Okay, well, here's the deal. If Foothill does throw the ball with Riggin, I mean, the Paul McKay kid from Green Valley, like I said last week, looked like Joe Montana against Liberty. Nonetheless, it's lining up well. Here's the deal. These first three games, Rancho El Dorado, Del Sol Basic, Foothill Liberty, it's a coin flip, heads or tails. My coin has two heads. I pick in Liberty.
It's two heads. I guess I'll take Liberty too, but I might change my mind before I make the picks later and take Foothill. We'll go to the final game in the Southeast, Silverado and Green Valley. Two desperate teams. Silverado got to be a favorite here, but whoever wins is still alive in the playoff race.
And I think Green Valley has showed the last 2 weeks that they're a lot better than their record indicates. They were, you know, up by double digits in the third quarter against Liberty. They were up by double digits in the first half against Del Sol. So for Green Valley, it's a matter of playing a consistent game from start to finish. Silverado, I have no idea what to make of this team. I still think, and I'll go to my grave with this comment, that Silverado has the most talent in that league.
I don't know.
I said it. Ridicule me all you want. It's just they've committed too many mistakes. Interceptions, unfortunate luck, being outplayed by Liberty, I think, was a little demoralizing. For them to still be around, I know, has got to scare Vegas. Because if Silverado makes it as the four, that is going to be one great playoff game. Because I think Silverado is as good as Vegas in terms of the talent. And I think that it would – I think Chris Faircloth at Vegas is rooting for Green Valley like I'm rooting for Shap, baby. Okay, because this Silverado team has got the talent, dude. And if a four would ever win this, if a four would ever make waves in the playoffs, it would be this talented four of Silverado. That's all I got. I got the Skyhawks, baby.
I don't go as far as you. I don't think Silverado is the most talented team in the Southeast. I don't even think they're the top two. I think the top two are obvious. But I totally agree with what you're saying about them being the number four and giving Vegas a run for their money. They are that good. Faircloth can root for Green Valley all he wants. I'm taking Silverado in this game. You mentioned Shap. Good lead-in for our Shap game. They're playing at Desert Pines. Any hopes for Chaparral to keep up their momentum from their close game last week?
Well, if they do, then I'm super proud alumni, because this Shap team has got. I mean, if we say Del Sol has no numbers, at least Del Sol's kids who play both ways are semi-good football players. These Shap kids, it might be like, dude, you're in trouble when your 5'8" quarterback breaks his leg and you're struggling offensively. And that's what happened to Shap. Once the quarterback went down with the injury, everything kind of went downhill a little quicker than it was supposed to be. Desert Pines, for as bad as they were early, they're big up front and they could run the ball. And you know what? Those kids are believing that they're better than they are. And I think this is a no-brainer. Desert Pines wins.
Got to take Desert Pines here, too. On to a next classic Northeast matchup, I guess you could say. Sunrise Mountain and Valley. I guess you got to take Valley.
Kiefer, I just got a great idea. Could we get Pahrump and Sunrise Mountain to play immediately?
Yeah, why aren't they playing? That would be great.
Wouldn't that be a great idea?
I think so.
I don't know anything, Kiefer. Listen, Sunrise Mountain should be with Pahrump. They should play in their own little league. Valley, I think, is a little better than everybody gives them credit for. I got Valley winning big.
I've got to go with you. Valley by at least four touchdowns. On to the headliner in the Northeast, Canyon Springs in Las Vegas. We talked about Foothill and Liberty being for the Southeast. Well, this game is for the Northeast. Both teams undefeated at Las Vegas. It doesn't get any bigger than this.
Yeah, it doesn't. I still think Canyon Springs is about a year away from being a player. You know, you look at their their top guys are like sophomores, you know, the Danelle Pumphrey kid who is going to be, you know, the next, right? He's the man, right?
The next Jim Brown.
The next Jim Brown. He's the man. But what I'm saying is somebody told me, a reliable source, that Canyon Springs' freshman team is better than their varsity team.
That doesn't make any sense. Why don't you call some of the kids up then?
Because Hunky Cooper, the coach over at Canyon, wants to keep those kids together, and he doesn't want them to lose a game. And if they're as good as they're supposed to be, then this is going to be Canyon Springs League in the future. Right now, baby, you know I'm on the Wildcat bandwagon. C-A-T-S, cats, cats, cats. Sign me up for the Wildcats. I think they win by double digits.
Just like the Foothill Liberty game, I don't have an official pick yet.
Wow, really?
I lean Las Vegas, but I'm telling you right now, but in the Foothill Liberty game and Canyon Springs Las Vegas, one of those two games I'm picking the upset. I just haven't decided which one yet.
There's no way Vegas loses this game.
Well, last year it was really close, wasn't it?
It was really close. Listen, both teams are going to be ready because this is the game. You're going to have a lot of athletes on the field. Come on, dude.
All right, well, maybe you decided it for me. Maybe I have to take Foothill because I want to believe in the upset, and I got to take one of these two games. I got to take
the
underdog.
I like the upset. I'm the underdog. I'm the underdog, baby. We're the underdog, you and me. But I just don't see Canyon Springs being our underdog. They're not our, BCS buster.
Well, sorry to Liberty fans. I think Brewer did it for me. I got to take Foothill because I got to take one upset in this one. And you talked me out of Canyon Springs. Next game, another game with playoff implications, Bonanza and Clark. If Clark can win, they're probably going to get the four spot in the or they're going to be in the running to get the four spot. Excuse me. They still have Spring Valley and they still play Durango too. I don't know. Bottom line is they're in the playoff race if they win this game.
And I'm rooting for Clark. Nothing against Bonanza, but I just remember the 45 game losing streak Clark snapped 2 years ago, and I know where that program was, and I know where it's become. And I know the jubilation those kids had when they snapped that streak and how those kids really care about what happens. And I think there would be no better story than Clark winning. I know that I've been this big proponent of getting teams like Clark and Pahrump in the 3A, but for Clark just to be around, to be the best of that league that is awful, but to be around in the conversation still, even if their prize for taking fourth is to play Palo in the first round, I mean, what an accomplishment to make it this far.
I'll take Bonanza just to be different. I think it'll be a really good game. Could go either way. We'll get on to our last kind of marquee game of this week. It's Desert Oasis hosting Durango. This is for the 2 seed in that league. I really think this one could also go either way, but I got to lean with Durango. I just think they have too many athletes. At the end of the day, I think the Trailblazers get it done.
Okay, Durango has been lights out since they lost the basic and struggled against Clark. Durango is as big up front as any team in that league, including Gorman. And Desert Oasis is small up front, Case. I mean, they are, oh boy, are they small. That whole team is small. They got a team of like 5'10", 180-pound kids. With that said, I love the Donovan Smith kid from Durango. He is dynamic. Julio Mora, everybody knows he's a great player. But there's something about Desert Oasis. They've just had, with the exception of the Gorman game, which everybody looks silly against Gorman, Desert Oasis has had no problem with any teams in that league. Hasn't even been a question. I think Desert Oasis is going to be well prepared. I think Durango is going to be well prepared. There's just something about this. Maybe this is my upset, Kiefer. Okay, I like Desert Oasis. I have a hunch. I have a feeling. I know on paper, baby, that Durango is bigger and better and has better players. But I have a hunch. I've been wrong before. I have a hunch I'm going Desert Oasis.
Are you ready to get fired up for what I'm about to say?
Oh, God. Do tell.
Canyon Springs has a better chance of beating
Las Vegas
than Desert Oasis has of beating Durango. Dude. There you have it.
We might have to start wagering some claim jumper lunches here. There's okay. Don't ruin your credibility with everybody, Case. There's no way Canyon Springs beats Vegas.
You heard it here. That's what I believe. I guess we'll get on to a next game that we're not going to disagree with at all.
Who are you picking? Durango?
I said Durango before. Okay, I'm picking Durango easily.
Easily? Easily. Okay. All right.
By two. I'll say by two touchdowns when I mean easily. Two touchdowns.
Two touchdowns? Okay.
On to the next game. Sorry. Pahrump Valley and Bishop Gorman. Already talked about it. Gorman just named their score. Nothing really else to talk about.
Get on to the next game.
All right. Next game, Sierra Vista, Spring Valley.
Spring Valley. Get on to the next game. Exactly. I mean, these teams should not be playing in the league. We've said it every week. Somebody please listen. You know, we know you hear us. Donnie Nelson, Ray Mathis, all you decision makers. I love you both. Please help me out and let's get this taken care of. Or whoever is in charge, please help me.
Moapa in Boulder City. I got to think Moapa, they've had kind of a rough year, but I got to think they're going to beat Boulder City.
Yeah, I mean, Boulder City, I loved Alex Kazel when he coached at Basic, and it's just, he just doesn't have, he's a good coach, dude, and he just does not have the weapons at Boulder. And I've covered a lot of Boulder City sports, dude, over the years, and it's just not a football, they don't have football players, dude, bottom line.
This game is actually really intriguing. It kind of takes a little bit lower billing because of the other games on the schedule this week. But Centennial at Legacy, I really think you could go either way here, too, and not be wrong.
Yeah, here's the deal. Legacy's 27-20 win against Mojave looked real ugly. But they held Mojave to like 65 rushing yards. They gained 300 on the ground themselves. Centennial Case plays good defense. I got to give them credit. They hit you hard with their hats. Legacy, dog, is Legacy. LJ McMorris, my man, who I'm high on, the junior tailback, who had a little bit of an ankle problem, had a long touchdown run last week. He's back in full force. I give the and LJ we trust. Legacy 22-16.
I think I'm leaning Centennial here. I think I'm going to take them. I love the combination of Jacoby Owens and Taj Cole. Give me Centennial. You talked about Mojave played better last week. A team that definitely played worse was Cheyenne, and they are going to Mojave. Could Mojave get their first win in the Northwest? How long has it been? A couple of years at least.
You know, you're right. This is definitely screams upset, but I just don't see it happening. I got Cheyenne.
Yeah, I'm taking Cheyenne, too. How about, is Palo on upset alert this week? Going to Faith Lutheran? I know you talk about a lot last year that Faith Lutheran opened up and scored some points on Palo. Could they do it again?
Well, Faith pitches and catches as good as anybody in town. It's just they cannot run or stop the run. And what does Palo do real well? The one time I covered Palo this year, they did not throw the ball one time. It's going to be big. Palo big, Faith little.
I'm looking at your scores here. You have Faith only scoring 18. I'm going to take more than 18.
Well, because the clock is going to be controlled on the ground. Okay.
That's true, but I'm going to take the over. I'm going to make two bold proclamations. Faith Lutheran over 18 and Canyon Springs keeping it closer than Desert Oasis. Those are my two proclamations for this week here on Prep Sports Now. Two more games. One, Shadow Ridge got a win last week. We were both surprised. We both picked Cheyenne. They go to Cimarron, who lost, or Cimarron, did lose last week at Arborview. Arborview got a little confused because they're on a bye. Shadow Ridge and Cimarron.
I like Cimarron. This Shadow Ridge team I cannot get a pulse on. Great win last week against a Cheyenne team that might have mailed it in. They were beating Arborview. They kind of gave the Arborview game away, actually. Shadow clearly not going to make the playoffs. They got 39 seniors on the team, so they got, I don't know. Dude, I don't want to get into the psychology of high school football. This is another coin flip game, I really think, but I got Cimarron.
They really have 39 seniors?
Yeah, they're loaded. It's like everybody on their team is a senior. Next year, typing in their roster is going to be a joy.
There you go. Last game of the week. Coronado at Virgin Valley. Virgin Valley, a really good win last week against Palos. I mean, I know it's just their JV, but Palos got a lot of talent. Virgin Valley beat them, and now they're hosting Coronado.
Yeah, this Coronado team, I really give a mulligan to this year because those kids have overcome a lot with the coaching changes there, and there's some good players on the team. You know, the Johnson kid, the Musino kid, the Riley kid, they've got some good players. It's just – you know, when you got a coach who takes over like the day you hand out pads, it's impossible to get rolling. I think Virgin Valley wins state in the 3A this year. I know our friends in Overton won't like that. And I think this is a good win for Virgin Valley. And, hey, let's give them credit. They're not playing a JV team this week.
That's for sure. But next week they do have that game against Moapa. Such a huge game. They can't be looking ahead because Coronado is dangerous, as we saw against Basic. Coronado's got a chance. I'm still taking Virgin Valley, though. We're through all the games. That does it for this week of Prep Sports Now. Certainly be back, and hopefully we have a lot to talk about. Hopefully we have some upsets, some really good games this weekend.
What you're saying is hopefully Canyon Springs beats Vegas. I can't. You're
DJ Pumphrey, let's go. We ready.